There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport, the latest headlines, and top debate. This is The Grill with Tom Urquhart on DubaiEye 103.8.
Good afternoon, one and all, and welcome to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Please, of course, do send in your text messages, 4001, if you'd like to have your say. Equally, you can have your say on Twitter, at Dubai iSport. What have we got coming up for you in the next 3 hours, whether you're all the way through till 6 o'clock this evening? World Cup qualifiers going on around the globe. Final weekend of World Cup qualifiers. We'll put you in the picture of team news ahead of the 8 o'clock kickoffs, the earliest games for today. We've got the Grand Prix in Japan tomorrow. We'll give you news of pole on that one. Plus, we'll look ahead to some massive games in the world of rugby union and rugby league, both sides of the equator, a little later in proceedings. There's boxing news to look ahead to, cricket news, who will be going down to Australia, who won't. Plus, of course, we'll be casting our eyes over the worlds of golf, US sport, Australian sport, and much, much more. If you'd like to have your say, keep it locked here on Dubai I 103.8. Do send us a text message now, 4001.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai iSport.
Thanks very much indeed for being with us here on The Grill and joining me this afternoon to work through all the big stories of the day. An absolute pleasure to have alongside me we call him our US sports specialist. He is that, but he's so much more as well. Just sports specialist in general. Ross Chris, good to have you with us.
Good afternoon, listeners. Good afternoon, Tom. Good afternoon, Arch. Great to be here. A nice sunny day down here at Barasti Beach. If you are in the area, get down here. We're on air till 6 o'clock. They took off the roof, I believe, last week. So if you want some sunshine, some vitamin D, come and join us. Come give us a high five. And don't forget, we have guests aplenty on the show today. We'll be joined by Troy from the race director of the Desert Warrior Challenge, one of the great adventure races out here in the Middle East. They've been doing good things out here in the desert, deep in the desert, for the last 2 years. So we'll be hearing about his upcoming race, which I believe is 2 weeks from today, if you still want to get involved with that. We'll also have Jack from the Desert Dingoes. He plays in the Aussie Rules League, which is about to kick off next week out here. So all of your Aussie Rules fans, I believe the grand final was last week. We can look back on that as well. Also, I believe we'll be joined by Tuton Lewis, NFL veteran, 12 years in the league. He's been playing. He's been keeping his eye on what's been happening stateside, looking at all of the games in the NFL. And then friend of the show, of course, NBA veteran Dante Green will join us when the sun rises on the East Coast. He's been looking back at all of the trades that's been happening back in the NBA. Some huge, huge blockbusters. Of course, Dwayne Wade coming from Chicago, going to be playing with his friend in Cleveland, LeBron James. So there's a lot to look forward to today on today's show, Tommy.
Looking forward to that. And talking of what's going on stateside at the moment, what will we be touching on a little later on?
Well, we have the NFL, of course, in mid-swing. Tom Brady and the boys were on the Thursday night game. And can you believe it or not, we were just talking about the Stanley Cup Finals. It seems like just yesterday that NHL is back. They dropped a puck this week, so NHL games have been getting started. And guess what? Las Vegas now has a professional sports team, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, playing in their very first game, their very first professional sports game for the city, playing with heavy hearts after the tragedy that went on in Vegas last week. And they opened up their season with a win, so we'll look back at the Golden Knights' first game. And, of course, we are in October now, which means playoff baseball. The New York Yankees are in it. The Cleveland Indians are in it. Plenty of other teams. The Houston Astros, the LA Dodgers, of course, are in it. LA Dodgers sponsored by Emirates Airlines. So we'll be looking back at all of the playoff scores.
Thanks very much indeed. Looking forward to that one. Also joined today by Mark Archer. Plenty for you to get your head around this afternoon.
Afternoon, Tom. Afternoon, Ross. Sounds like it's a busy show. I could almost go home.
Don't do that, Arch. Don't do that. were planning on doing that, Christo and herself. We want to leave you in the capable hands.
Well, there's plenty of live cricket to talk about this afternoon. Of course, it's the second day two of the second test match up at Dubai International Cricket Stadium. Day-night test match, so day two has just got underway. Pakistan, of course, trailing Sri Lanka 1-0 after that wonderful win by Sri Lanka earlier in the week in Abu Dhabi. Quick update from the cricket stadium. Sri Lanka were overnight 254 for 3. They moved on to 302 for 4. Dinesh Chandamal has been dismissed at LBW to Yasser Shah for 62, but Demuth Karunaratne is gone on. He was overnight 133 not out, his seventh test century. He's just brought up his 150. He's 151 not out. He's been joined at the crease by Dick Weller, who is 16 not out. So Sri Lanka, 302 for four on day two, and that's getting into a really healthy position up there, up at Dubai International Cricket Stadium.
Quick one on that one. Where did that win come from in the last test match down in Abu Dhabi?
Unbelievable. I was there on the afternoon of day four, and Pakistan were towards the end of their first innings. I think they 417 Sri Lanka scored. They were just clawing past that, and I said, there's no way that this game's going to have a result. If any result is, Pakistan need to knock over Sri Lanka quickly on end of day four and on day five to have a chance. They did that. They were chasing a total of just over 130, I think, to win. And that man, Raghunatharajah, came through as a star again. Left-arm spin, took his 400th test wicket. What a performer he's been for Sri Lanka. And then, bang, you know it, Pakistan are 1-0 down in the test series. They have a wonderful record in the UAE. They've played 9 test match series since 2009. They've won 5 of those series and drawn 4. So that undefeated record in the UAE for test cricket for Pakistan is under threat. This is the second and final test match up at Dubai, and of course Pakistan have a bit of work to do again with this good start by Sri Lanka. 302 for 4 Sri Lanka. Can Pakistan come back into the test match, level up the series?
There's lots of cricket to talk about. We will be talking cricket a little later on in proceedings. We've got golf as well. In fact, we're going to be crossing over to Robbie Greenfield in the next 10 minutes or so. He's actually playing in his first ever professional tournament, although he's not a professional. Not sure how that works.
I believe he's playing with some royalty.
Yeah, he's playing with Darren Clark.
I think his first day partner, and correct me if I'm wrong, Arch, isn't a prince of Jordan?
I think he was being watched by royalty.
He was getting followed by the prince of Jordan.
But Darren Clark is one of the royal figures in the world of golf, so you could say he's been playing with royalty today.
From Royal Portrush?
Exactly. Boom.
We got that going on for you. That's coming up in just a little while. We'll be hearing from Robbie, seeing how he's got. Because I'm assuming if he's playing to that means he missed the cut.
I think, and Robbie can put us fully in the picture of what's going on there. I think they play 3 rounds.
All right.
So he started on. We spoke to him on Thursday night at Sports Tonight. He was about to tee off. So it's the second round. So I think the tournament concludes tomorrow, and this is his second round. So he played yesterday. We're yet to know what he scored. He was very optimistic that he would hopefully break 100 on his professional debut. That was his goal. So let's see when we do speak to him whether he managed to achieve that and how that round went today with, of course, Open winner champion Darren Clark.
So we've got that going on. We're going to be talking about the forthcoming FIFA Club World Cup. That round ran about 3:30. We'll be getting in the latest from that ahead of a big announcement tomorrow. On Monday afternoon. We've got details on that coming your way in just a little while as well. I hope you're going to be catching up with our man Dennis Hurley as well. Dennis, we'll be looking ahead to a big clash in the world of rugby today. We talk on endlessly about derbies, don't we, when it comes to football and cricket and other sports. We really rarely talk about the derbies in rugby, but a massive one over in Ireland later.
Yeah, it's part of the Pro 14. It's Leinster taking on Munster to big rivalries there in Irish rugby. So you call it the Irish Derby, I guess. It's not horse racing, Tom. And that's going to be at Aviva Stadium in Dublin. So a big match there. Leinster taking on Munster. And, of course, there's a Welsh Derby as well in the Pro 14 as well. Ospreys facing rivals Scarlets there. So that'll be a good match as well. So plenty of Pro 14 rugby to talk about this afternoon. We've got 4 games in the Aviva Premiership. And, of course, it's the final round of the Rugby Championship at 7 o'clock. The All Blacks over in Cape Town taking the Springboks.
So that's at 7 o'clock tonight. What other sort of times are games kicking off in all the other leagues?
Well, that match in the Aviva Stadium we just talked about, the Irish Derby, Leinster hosting Munster, is a 5 p.m. kickoff UAE time. So we should have that. We should have the first hour of that match, half-time score before we go off here. The other matches are late in the Pro 14, and 6 o'clock UAE time, so just as we go off here, are the 4 matches in the Aviva Premiership. One result from last night, of course, in the Aviva Prem. Harlequins defeated Sale Sharks. Tim Visser scored a couple of tries for Harlequins. They won that match against Sale 42-26 at the Stoop.
If there is one game of rugby I could encourage you to watch today, it's a game that kicks off at 9 o'clock. It's live on OSN. It's Rugby League, and I know that a lot of people there go, oh, Rugby League's not my game of Fair Union. Listen, even if you haven't watched Rugby League before, watch this game. It's time for the Grand Final, which is basically the culmination of the Super League, Rugby League up in the United Kingdom. It sees Castleford take on Leeds. It's being played at Old Trafford, and it promises to be an absolute screamer.
It is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. So that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. The Betfred Super League Grand Final. Dare greatly.
It's a cracker. It's getting underway at 9 o'clock this evening. Castleford against Leeds. If there's one game of rugby league that gets you excited, Archie, I know that you're a Union boy through and through, but you like your NRL. You're a bit suspect about your league north of the border, but this one's a goodie.
Yeah, this is the big match, really, and it's a culmination of a season's hard effort. Would you say Castleford versus Leeds? Leeds, yeah, big rivalry up there in Yorkshire match, Yorkshire derby,
it is.
I guess, as we're talking about derbies. And, yeah, it should be a cracker. Lots of big-name players taking part. And, of course, we had the NRL Grand Final last Sunday in Sydney as well.
Let us just bring you a bit of team news on that one. Leeds fans will be happy that Stevie Ward has been cleared to play in today's grand final, just a week after suffering a dislocated shoulder. Dislocated his shoulder this time last week in the semi-finals and their progress through to the final. It took them 13 hours to get his shoulder back into place. There was some sort of complication and problems. Within a week, he's been cleared fit, cleared fit to play this game today.
Oh, it's unbelievable. The tough guys, the guys that play rugby league, aren't they? I don't know if they're a couple of sandwiches short of the picnic basket at times as well, but they do tend to recover from injury incredibly quick. They're very brave. We talked about, what was the big Englishman who plays for South Sydney, played for rugby?
Yeah.
Burgess.
Yep.
A couple of years ago,
Burgess,
I think, played a grand final with a broken, depressed cheekbone.
Yeah.
Only maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
In the final, and these guys are just tough as nails. So, again, if you're going to watch one or two games of rugby league per year, you've probably got the NRL grand final in there. You've got the Super League final, and, of course, you've got State of Origin. Are the games that I will stop everything can watch.
That one's coming up at 9 o'clock. Stevie Ward, the man who had the dislocated shoulder. Let's hear from him. He said it's been a funny old week.
Obviously dislocated my shoulder and we couldn't get it back in for 10 hours. I went in the A&E and you know, pretty trying time for me. Some dark moments, and to get through that, almost some moments really where feeling like I was going to give in results. And I thought if it's strong, it's stable. I had to make the decision that on Sunday I made the decision to myself that I was going to play and tomorrow. And you know, everything that's come after that, the test and the rehab and testing out and tackling yesterday has gone really well. And for me, I needed it to happen, and luckily it's come good.
So has it been a roller coaster of emotions this week?
It's been insane. It's been absolutely insane. From going like from the, you know, those dark moments, like there were some times where, I wanted to give in. You know, my shoulder out, and I had to face the emotional pain of missing another final. And it was more, where do I go from here? But that decision that I made on Sunday that I was going to play, and the good news from the scan and the specialists on Sunday, they were outstanding. And it's just gone from strength to strength this week, and I've been building and kind of just keeping myself. But, you know, hopefully tomorrow I can turn out and put a good performance in.
Just to put this into context, you've had a few injury problems where you've missed big games and you've had long spells out, so mentally it must have been very tough for you.
Yeah, mate, it was really tough. It was, you know, it's the toughest thing I've had to face. Just the physical pain of the shoulder being out for 10 hours and the painkillers weren't touching it, but I also had to face the fact that, you know, I didn't feel like it was giving in or giving up. I felt like it would just force that I might have to move on. Do you know, it got that serious and we're in that such pain in such a bad way. And obviously I got over the Saturday, the Sunday and kind of brought myself round and thought, you know, there's one last pop here, one last shot to make out on the field and do a job for the lads, and I don't want to miss it. So, you know, it's such complete opposite ends of the spectrum. And you know, I'm just grateful, just so grateful to be involved in this atmosphere and going forward for Saturday.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
Yeah, we're down here at Barasti where the game is always on, getting ready for some of the big games of the evening. We'll put in the picture of those very, very shortly. Not before, though, we've talked golf for the next few moments. Let's go to the Alfred Dunhill Lynx Championship in Scotland. Mark Archer.
Yeah, it's a very popular Pro-Am event, this event, Tom. It takes place over three courses, the old course at St Andrews, Carnoustie and King's Barnes. I can tell you that we're into round three, and it's the Englishman Tyrrell Hatton that has a three-shot lead. He was the overnight leader on 11 under par. He's three under today through seven holes. He's had two rounds of 68 and 65. He's playing the King's Barnes course today, and he has a three-shot lead from fellow Englishman Matt Wallace, who is back at 11 under par. Overnight leader was Tommy Fleetwood, the man that won the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship early in the year. He shot a 70 on day one, but yesterday he shot a 63 at Carnoustie, which is a course record. Now, Carnoustie has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and Tommy Fleetwood, with that 63, has broken the course record. So amazing feat. I'm sure we'll hear from him very shortly. He's back, though, today, not having all his own way today. He's one over par after six holes. So at the top of the leaderboard in the Alfred Dunhill's Lynx Championship, it's Tyrrell Hatton has a three-shot lead from Matt Wallace.
Let's go over to the PGA Tour now, get the latest from our man Ross Crist.
That's right, Tommy. It's the Safeway Open. They play this in wine country in beautiful beautiful Napa, California. And the story of the tournament is Tyler Duncan. He chipped in on the fringe for an eagle on the par 5, 18th, to take a second round lead in the season open, Safeway Open. He has a six under 66 for one stroke lead over defending champion Brendan Steele. Some other scores coming out of this: Harold Varner, the third is at 7 under, Chesson Holliday is at 11 under, Zach Blair at 9 under, and American Phil the Thrill, lefty Mickelson, he's at 5 under. He's tied for 15th. Phil Mickelson making big news last week at the President's Cup for the selfie heard round the world. I guess the selfie seen round the world. He took a selfie last week with ex-presidents Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. This thing blew up on social media, as Phil's brother put it on his Twitter for him. Very, very cool picture from Phil the Thrill. He is at 15 under par right now at the Safeway Open.
Thanks very much indeed for that. There's golf closer to home as well, because the Isla Classic is going on. It's the first time that a MENA Tour event has gone to Jordan. Some big names down there, none more so than our own Robbie Greenfield. We'll be talking to him shortly. He had the pleasure, the privilege, dare we say it, of heading out with former Open champion, former European Ryder Cup Tour captain Darren Clark. He partnered with him a little earlier on, and let's find out how the experience was.
An absolute privilege to be joined by the MENA Tour patron, former Open champion Darren Clark. Thank you, Darren, for putting up with my golf 18 holes this morning.
Yes, it was all good fun.
It was all good fun. Let's just leave it at that for now. Listen, give me your takeaway from the week at the first ever professional golf tournament in Jordan, and another big step in the right direction for the MENA Tour.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the golf course, the facilities, the hotel, everything has been fantastic this week. You know, the guys have all absolutely loved it. Nice, benign conditions today. We had some tougher conditions earlier in the week, but golf course has been fabulous, and the whole event has been, I feel, a huge success, and another breaking boundaries, as it were, for the MENA Tour to come here to Jordan for the first professional event, and hopefully MENA Tour and Jordan can build on this and get the tournament bigger and better for next year.
You had a chance to play with a prospect in Jordan, Shergo Al-Kurdi. He was he acquitted himself pretty well, I thought, under the circumstances.
Yes, he did. We had some tougher conditions earlier in the week without wind. And Shergo's obviously a very young man, but he's a huge talent, and you know, he's, I think he's going to be definitely one to watch for the future. And with the ability for him to play on the MENA Tour and gain some experience and play with some pros and top class amateurs, and you can only see his game going from strength to strength.
First grass course here in Jordan, Aqaba, Greg Norman designed. Somewhere that you'd recommend to people from the Middle East to come out and give a try?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, the golf course was in sensational condition this year, probably up there with as good a course as I've played condition wise anywhere this year. So, you know, they've worked really hard, Chris White and his team here at the golf club, to give us the test that they have done, and the course has just simply been magnificent.
Your plans for the rest of the year, Darren? Your game's getting close to being very, very good again, isn't it?
Yeah, just hitting the odd few silly shots and poor decisions, as you saw today, but you know, I'm actually hitting the ball very nicely, just not quite scoring the way I should be. In terms of what I'm going to do for the rest of the year, not really sure yet. I'm back here to come out. I can't play in the Tour Championship and the MENA Tour because I haven't played enough events. But I'm out here to watch the guys and back in a couple of weeks again and see how they're all getting on. After that, there's some tournaments that I probably will go and play in again. Not quite sure where they're going to be, but you know, at the moment for me coming back out, I'm working very diligently with Justin Parsons from there at the Ellis Club, and you know, anytime I get a chance to spend time with Justin is always great. Plus, whenever I come back again, then maybe I'll sneak back out again with Nick Bowles and Ocean Active and get back out there and try and catch a few more fish.
Well, it's brilliant to have you out here, and the MENA Tour, I know, appreciates it a lot. I appreciated your company today, Darren. Thanks a lot.
Not at all. You're welcome. And just before we go, I think it would be remiss of me not to mention your choke up the last today. Whenever we had a little bit of a bet. You were trying to get away with it there, but we had a little bit of a bet, and unfortunately, the nerves got you the better of you, and your golf ball did not float on the 18th, and the four that you needed turned into a six very quickly, but it was very enjoyable.
I'm sure it was enjoyable for you to watch me squirming like one of those fish on the rod. Anyway, that's enough of that, Darren. Thank you so much. Absolute pleasure. Absolute legend. Thank you, Darren.
Cheers. Thank you.
Talk us through that choke on the 18th there. It is the one and only Robbie Greenfield joins us live on the line from Jordan. Good afternoon to you, Rob.
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you doing?
Very well indeed. Okay, we heard it from Darren there. We're going to get it from the horse's mouth now. Talk us through the hole.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, listen, Darren said to me on the first tee that, well, he asked me what I shot yesterday. I told him I shot a 88 disgraceful blows on the golf course yesterday. He said, right, if you can beat 83 today, then, well, I'll, yeah. He said he'd offer me a special prize. I reached the 18th, I reached the 18th tee needing a birdie to do that, and I had 205 yards with my second shot, water all the way down the right, just a simple down the left, it was just one good swing remaining, and I was in home and hosed, and the recipient of, well, Darren Clark's respect if nothing else, but unfortunately, I carved one so far out wide that it, well, it landed in the lake with aplomb, let's put it that way, and he tackled, and I hung my head in shame, and yet again, another addition to a long highlight reel of chokes when I've been on a golf course, Tom.
And Robbie, of course, it was your debut playing in a professional tournament. How have you enjoyed the experience?
Listen, it's been absolutely brilliant. It's the MENA Tour, I cannot speak highly enough of it. It's one of the real success stories, I feel, of sport in the UAE. It's a grassroots initiative. It's giving kids at a level where all they need to do is be playing events. It's all very well standing on a range and hitting balls and practicing and that kind of thing, but you need to test yourself against the competition. And without status, without ability to play on some of the other tours, like, for example, the Challenge Tour or you know, higher up the ladder, the European Tour, these kids need to get out there and they need to play. And Darren has been a wonderful patron of the tour, it has to be said. He's really shown his support. He didn't even have to come to Jordan. He decided off his own bat to come and play here this week. And it's the first ever professional golf tournament to be held in Jordan. So it's history really for the country. And honestly, the talent on display is remarkable. I mean, I was an embarrassment really to the field, but I was a marker. I did get a chance to play with a nice guy yesterday, Eddie Holland, who's a kid with a bright future, and today a legend. So it's been a brilliant experience for me, and I can't, as I said, cannot speak highly enough of the MENA Tour and what they're trying to do with golf.
Robbie, you're a golf guy. You came to us from Golf Digest Middle East. You follow the golf. You're golf through and through. You're on that course out there in Jordan, and you look over and you see Darren Clark as your playing partner. Did you take a step back and say, oh, my God, I'm doing a childhood dream right now?
Completely. Yeah, it was so bizarre. It was totally and utterly bizarre. And the first tee, because the starter goes through the rigmarole and he gets the microphone out and he goes, on the tee, representing Northern Ireland, Darren Clark. And of course, Darren strikes one 320 yards down the middle of the fairway. And then he says, and representing England, on the tee, Robert Greenfield. And of course, I step up and snap hook one about 150 yards down the desert sand on the left-hand side of the hole. So, yeah, it was an interesting start to my round. It was an absolute, as you say, Ross, a childhood dream. I was really in cloud cuckoo land the entire time. An absolute honour and a privilege to play with Darren. He's a brilliant guy, and he's a real supporter of the MENA Tour, which I think is important. I think other organisations, other initiatives need to look at the tour and see how they can support it. It'd be great to see a few more sponsors come through the door, a bit more prize money for these guys to play with, because at this level of sport, it's very difficult to finance your career, to kind of make ends meet, as it were. It's a challenge for these guys to kind of go week to week surviving, really, and playing enough tournaments. But we've seen lots of stories in the past of golfers who've been mini tour players, who've had a good run, you know, they've played well at the right time, and suddenly it's totally transformed their career. So it can happen. There are success stories, but people need to support the tour because I think it's a great initiative.
And Robbie, just talk us through the MENA Tour event. Was it a three-round event, and did you make the cut? Were you one of the strongest players holding up the rest of the field on the leaderboard?
Well, I only started in the second round, Arch, as a marker, so I wasn't even eligible to make the cut. But had there been a cut, or had I started in the first round, I would have missed it by quite some considerable margin. I would have missed it by a bigger margin than I missed my approach shot into the 18th today with Darren Clark, which was about 50 yards wide of target.
Robbie, let's just take a look at that leaderboard right now. From what we can see over here in Dubai, it's Englishman Luke Joy who's all alone at 7-under. Is that still the case over there in Jordan?
Yeah, that's what I'm reading at the moment, Ross. Luke is at 7-under. We've got Henrik Sturhed at 6-under. He's alongside Robert McIntyre. Jamie Elson, who's a former European tour player, he's at 3-under par. Luke has got an interesting story because he's a winner on the MENA Tour, a two-time winner, and has been a very, very good player for a long, long time, but battled with malaria that he contracted over in Africa playing a tournament there earlier this year. So he's not been very well for the last 4 or 5 months or so. Great to see him back. Great to see him playing good golf again. And he's a real prospect. We do a lot with Luke during the DP World Tour Championship on the broadcast. And he's a very good commentator as well as a great golfer. And I'd love to see him win this week.
Robbie, thank you very much indeed for your time. Obviously, if people want to find out more about the MENA Tour, if people want to find out more about the Isla Classic, what's the best way for them to do that? Is it all on the website?
Yeah, all on the website, menatour.com, and the Isla Classic. You can follow that there. There's a live leaderboard, and there's a couple more events coming up. It culminates in Ashman with the Tour Championship in a few weeks' time. So, yeah, follow the Tour and get involved. And it's a great story. It's a regional story, and it's a great tour to keep an eye on. So, yeah, get on that website and support the MENA Tour is what I would say to everyone.
Big thanks for you for taking time to speak to us. All the best tomorrow. All the best with the rest of the tour over there. And we highly encourage that you head back into the 19th now and see if you can't twist the arm of Darren Clark to get you that special prize.
Okay, cheers, Tom.
Thank you very much indeed. Robbie Greenfield joining us live from Jordan, where they've been celebrating, and he's been playing in the first professional event over there. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we talk FIFA Club World Championship.
The Grill has all the sport you need right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Plenty of football to look forward to a little later on, albeit not club football. It is the qualifying, World Cup qualifying, FIFA World Cup qualifying for 2018. That's ongoing at present, and we'll have games kicking off from 8 o'clock, so we'll have lots of news for you on that one in just a little while. Meanwhile, though, the FIFA Club World Cup is about to roll into town in more ways than one. The FIFA Club World Cup experience at Dubai Mall will be rolled out on Monday night. It's where fans can test their skills across 6 different disciplines: touch, passing, reflex, throw-ins, precisions and saving. Your scores are then ranked against your friends and the entire UA community. Top scorers from across the weekend. And up until Monday, October the 9th, we'll receive once-in-a-lifetime training with legends of the game and then watch as they battle it out amongst each other. The FIFA Club World Cup experience will be at the Dubai Mall from October the 5th to the 14th, so it's ongoing as we speak at the moment. And then the FIFA Club World Cup excitement will visit Dubai Marina Mall on October the 19th to the 21st, where fans can try a whole new set of skill games, including testing their power, their accuracy, their speed, and their heading. If you can't make it for the FIFA Legends appearance on October the 9th, you still have the chance to compete to prove that you are the best gamer with a weekend-long EA Sports gaming competition from October the 13th to the 14th. Register your interest now to book a place by emailing community at fifacwc.ae. The FIFA Club World Cup 2017, hosted at the Zayed Sports City Stadium in Abu Dhabi, Hazard bin Zayed Stadium in LA from the 6th to the 16th of December, Real Madrid from Spain, Auckland City from New Zealand, Pachuca from Spain, Al Jazeera representing the UAE already qualified, and the Asian, African and South American champions still to come. This is every football fan's opportunity to see the very best club teams from around the world compete to be crowned the world champions. If you'd like tickets, then they are available at ticketmaster.ae. We'll be talking more about the FIFA Club World Cup, the experience and all, in just a little while, so do stay tuned for that. In the meantime, though, one for your diary, a date for your diary, is to find out more courtesy of Monday Night Football, because Chris McCarty and Robbie Greenfield, if he's back, that is, from Jordan, will be broadcasting this Monday live from the Dubai Mall experience, the FIFA Club World Cup experience. So if you want more on that, then make sure you tune in on Monday between 7 and 9. In the meantime, though, we can put you the picture of other sport ongoing around the globe. Mark Archer's been having a look at the cricket for us. Let's get the latest there.
Yeah, action on day two of the second test here at the Dubai International Cricket Stadium. Day-night cricket coming to you from Dubai. Of course, Pakistan trying to get back into the two-match series. They do trail Sri Lanka 1-0 after the result earlier this week in Abu Dhabi. Now, Sri Lanka won the toss of batting first, and they've made good progress today. Overnight at stumps, they were 254 for 3, and they've moved on nicely today. 338 for 4 is the Sri Lankan score, and it's that man, the opening batsman, Damuth Karunaratne, has moved on from 133 not out overnight. He's now 167 not out. What a mammoth innings he is putting together. So Sri Lanka in really good shape at the moment, trying to win the test match and win the series. Pakistan, who have been undefeated here in 9 years of playing test cricket, and they're under a bit of pressure to keep that record intact. But Sri Lanka into day two, 338 for 4.
Not a huge amount of other cricket to talk about at the moment. Lots to look forward to. And obviously one of the big unsolved at the moment surrounds a certain Ben Stokes. What's the latest you're hearing there?
Well, the England have named the team that they're about to go to. The 28th of October is the date where England will depart for Australia, and then the test match series gets underway in November. What the ECB have come out in recent days has said that Ben Stokes, as it stands currently, will not be part of that team travelling unless circumstances change. And I'm guessing that the circumstance they're talking about is the police investigation,
yes,
high profile incident that took place a couple of weeks ago, and I doubt it will take more than a couple of weeks to resolve. So I can't see any way that Ben Stokes will make that team to go down to the Ashes series, which is a shame, because for me he's probably the best cricketer on both sides. That's a big statement, but I think he is a difference maker for England, and England will desperately miss him because he won't be part of that squad to go down to Australia. If he does go, I guess he's going to get a pretty hard time.
He is. Australia, for their part, have got their own problems. We understand that Australia captain Steve Smith will return home from the team's tour of India. He's got a right shoulder injury, so that's something they'll be looking at in more detail. But that pales into insignificance with the trouble that Ben Stokes is in at the moment, and to a certain degree, Alex Hales, although that wouldn't, as it stands, impact the test squad. Ben Stokes is a big loss. He has, however, been awarded a new central contract, won't travel to Australia at this stage. We do understand that Steve Finn has been drafted into the squad as possible cover as well. Let's just get a bit of an update on the Ben Stokes incident.
Ben Stokes will not be flying out to Australia on October the 28th with the rest of England's Ashes squad. However, he has been retained on his central contract, and he could yet feature in the series if no further action is taken by Avon and Somerset Police in light of his alleged actions outside Embargo nightclub on September 25th. Now, this is the upshot of Andrew Strauss's permutations as he tries to toe an incredibly fine line between prejudging the police investigation and, of course, giving clarity to the rest of England's squad ahead of what promises to be an incredibly high-pressure and high-focus Ashes series. Now, into Stokes' place, although he is going to retain his place for the whole five tests, comes Stephen Finn, who ironically has been dropped from England's list of central contracts this morning, but that hasn't changed the fact that he is an experienced Ashes campaigner, having been out there on two previous tours, and he will come in to compete for a fast bowling place. And that in itself is interesting. It does give an indication into how England hope to fill such a huge void. Of course, Stokes is a genuine fast bowling, hard batting all-rounder, but England have realised that it is their bowling stocks that are going to be the most important thing, so they probably will be looking to shunt the rest of their middle order up a peg and give themselves that option of playing four fast bowlers in the first test at the Gabba on November the 23rd.
I'm just trying to put a timeline on this one. I understand that the police are going to release their initial report on Wednesday, so we'll have a little more clarification of just how much trouble he is in. But I just can't see him getting on that plane.
No, I don't think there's any way. That these investigations tend to take a matter of weeks and months, not days to resolve. So as it stands, the ECB has said that Ben Stokes will not be on the plane departing England on the 28th of October. And it's a big shame. He, again, as I said just before that piece there, I think he's probably the best cricketer on both teams. He's a difference maker. He's got the ability to take wickets with the ball. He breaks partnerships, and he scores at a run a ball and can turn a game with the bat, and he's a great fielder. So he's got a bit of everything. He's got a bit of stardust, a bit of X factor, and it's a big blow. One man who also thinks the big blow is your good friend, Tom. It's KP, who's currently playing in the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship as one of the celebrity amateurs. This is what Kevin Peterson had to say about the Ben Stokes incident and the big loss he'll be to England taking on Australia in the Ashes.
Strange one that he might travel a little later date. Probably led to the police inquiry. But I mean, as there's an investigation going on, it would be remiss of me to go into any of the legalities. But I just think that it's quite difficult to play the next test match for England when that video was doing the rounds 10 days ago. So, I don't know. We'll see. Strauss has made some tough decisions in his tenure so far. And, yeah, this is not an easy one for him. So, yeah, if that's the decision that's been made, then, yeah, it is what it is.
How big a hit would it be for England if Stokes wasn't eventually able to take part in the Ashes at all?
Massive, massive. He's a three-part player. He's a bowler, he's a batter, and he catches at first slip off the spinner. He's a wonderful fielder as well. So he just galvanises that team, gives them a lot of energy. And because the top order is so weak, you need Stokes in that setup. Stokes, Bairstow, Ali, they do so many of the hard yards, especially when they're batting, because of how weak the top order is. So, yeah, if he doesn't go, massive, massive problems.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
So just before the break, we were talking about the FIFA Club World Cup UAE 2017, which takes place from the 6th to the 16th of December. Tickets are available now at ticketmaster.ae. If you want a flavour of the event, then make sure you get yourself down to Dubai Mall at the moment, all the way through to the 14th. And also on Monday night, because Dubai Eye 103.8 and Sports Tonight will be doing a live broadcast from the FIFA Club World Cup experience at Dubai Mall on Monday night. So if you'd like to get an idea of what the FIFA Club World Cup is all about, then get yourself down there either before the 14th, or if you'd like to meet Chris McCarty and the rest of the team on Monday night between 7 and 9. In the meantime, though, we are talking FIFA Club World Cup right here in the UAE, and it's an absolute pleasure to be joined by the Marketing and Communications Director of the FIFA Club World Cup UAE 2017. Ahmed Al-Kabesi joins us live on the line. Good afternoon to you, Ahmed.
Good afternoon.
Appreciate your time this afternoon. Let's just get a quick update from you with regards to how preparation is going for the official draw to set the playing field for the FIFA Club World Cup UAE 2017.
Of course, the FIFA Club World Cup is a pinnacle of a global professional club football, with the top clubs from the six continents coming to Abu Dhabi and LA to compete for the title of FIFA Club World Cup champion. Actually, we are ready to host a big milestone ahead of the tournament. Fans will be doubt to be excited to find out who's their favorite teams and heroes will be playing this December. To this date, four teams have qualified for this year's edition. Real Madrid from Spain, as the UEFA Champions League winner. Auckland City from New Zealand, Pachuca from Mexico, and of course Al Jazeera as the host will be from UAE. We are still waiting for the winners of the AFC, Copa Libertadores, and CAF to join us next November.
That's what's going on with regards to the tournament itself. Obviously, plenty of build-up. We've got the experience in Dubai Mall as we speak at the moment. Talk to us about the community-led initiatives that you're putting in place ahead of the start of the tournament.
Yes, so the LOC has recently launched a community initiative to get to the public actively involved in the 14th edition of the FIFA Club World Cup, a nationwide search for youth leaders between the ages of 13 to 21. Has rolled out across the UAE, giving football fans the unique chance to become FIFA Club World Cup champions of their community. For the opportunity to win extraordinary once-lifetime prize, youth leaders are asked, with encouraging their friends to take part in activities leading up to the competition, including action-packed challenges and the experience and excitement mobile trot show.
And in terms of that, there's plenty of activities in present already in the build-up to the start of the tournament. None more so than your mobile roadshow activation. It's happening down at Dubai Mall at the moment. Tell us a little more about that.
Okay, the experience and the exciting mobile roadshow that's happening in Dubai Mall now, as the world's largest mall, it will be until 14th of October, of course. There are many series of skills and even social experience, which everybody can measure themselves by testing, practicing football. Scores will be captured in a mobile phone application where individuals will be able to rank their performance against friends, families, colleagues, and give participants the chance to win amazing prizes. I wish everybody to join us this day. Actually, on the 9th of October, we'll have the FIFA Legends to play there and even join the community.
Very much looking forward to it. We very much appreciate your time this afternoon and looking forward to the build-up ahead of the FIFA Club World Cup U8 2017. For now, though, Ahmed Al-Kabesi, we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Ahmed Al-Kabesi, the Marketing and Communications Director for the FIFA Club World Cup 2017, just bringing us up to date with developments there ahead of the tournament. As I said, it is early part of December, 6th through to the 16th, so lots to look forward to on the local sporting scene. Talking of the international sporting scene, we were talking about the Dunhill Championship just a few moments ago. Just to put us into perspective, so it's not just professionals that take part in this. It's almost a sort of a bit of a end-of-season jolly, isn't it? You get a few amateurs, but well-known amateurs taking part.
Yeah, you get leading exponents from acting and other sports, celebrities and TV personalities all taking part in the pro-ams element. You get a lot of business people also get involved, musicians who love golf. And so it's there's still an individual element to the event, but then there's a team prize as well for appearing between one of the pros and one of the amateurs. So it's a proper pro-am format, played over three of the great courses in Scotland, of course, the old course at St Andrews, so much history there, Carnoustie and King's Barnes. And then the final round, I think they do a cut after three rounds for the pro-am part of it, and the final round is at St Andrews. But the big news was yesterday, Tommy Fleetwood shot a 63 at Carnoustie, which is an incredibly difficult course. Carnoustie's been around, Tom, since hundreds of years, and for Fleetwood, who won early in the year in Abu Dhabi at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, it's a nice way to find some form ahead of the DP World Championship. So Tommy Fleetwood shot 63 yesterday. He is playing King's Barnes today. He has not going quite as well, but he's still right in the mix towards the top of the leaderboard. This is what he had to say after that round of 63 at Carnoustie yesterday.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Don't really think too much about it whilst you're playing, and then hold that one on the last, and then they said it was course record. So it's all in all, good day's work, wasn't it?
Come on, think of all the great players that have played this fantastic golf course. You've shot the best score of all of them. That's some achievement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think I hit it in some places that you probably can't hit it when the Open comes around today. But yeah, it is. Anytime you have a course record, especially if it's on tour or you know, golf courses like this, it's brilliant to have. So yeah, very proud at the moment.
Now, you're a new dad, you've had plenty going on. You've only played 1 week in seven leading into this event. How do you show that sort of form on this sort of golf course with such a little golf?
That was half a week as well, that one in the middle on it. Yeah, I mean, I said when I turned up, I'd been practicing whilst I was at home, but I've had a week where I didn't do anything, and that week feels like a year when you're in the middle of it. And I was kind of pleasantly surprised when I come on the range on air on Tuesday and it's all right. But yesterday I played okay, but I mean, I really enjoyed being back playing and being back in competition where every shot counts. Don't matter how much you play at home or what you do, it's not the same. And today, I mean, I played well, putted well, and it just unravelled, really. Sometimes it does that. And I mean, most of the times those are your best rounds when you don't quite realise what you're doing. But I had that, you know, really hot streak from 11 where, I mean, I had good chances, really, 7, 8, 9, 10, all chances that had burnt the edge. And then, made the most of the par fives and hold a couple of putts. And there you go.
One more quick question, Tommy. Win this week, is that the race to Dubai done and dusted?
I doubt it. Let's just concentrate on tomorrow first. But, I would love to win a tournament. I'd love to win this tournament. So, the goal every week is to try and win whatever you're playing in. And with such big events coming up, I don't think anything will be over until it's finally done. If I can keep making that cushion a little bit bigger, then it'll feel a lot nicer.
Great season then for Tommy Fleetwood. Not such a great season for Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, he has struggled. Just really been inconsistent, hasn't he, Rory McIlroy? Of course, he had the injury at the start of the year. He really struggled whether with injury or any consistency in his golf game. And he was speaking earlier in the week about trying to finish the year on a high. I can tell you that he is struggling to make the cut at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. He needs to get a move on today. He's currently 2 under par for the day after seven holes, but he's right on the cut mark at 2 under par. He's had rounds of 73 and 71. He is playing Kings Barnes course today. He's played seven holes, 2 under par, so he's moving in the right direction, but he does need to pick up a few more birdies, Tom, to be there for the final round tomorrow. This is Rory McIlroy talking this week about trying to finish the year on a high.
I gave myself a decent chance last week, so it's just good to know that there's good stuff in there. At the end of the day, the result, you know, it isn't just dependent on me. I could play very well and shoot 20 under par this week, and someone could shoot 22 under par, and I could walk away from the week being very happy and feeling like I played well and not really, you know, sometimes your best just isn't quite good enough to get the win. But and a bit like last week, I mean, if someone had said to me you're going to shoot 17 under par this week, I would have bitten their hand off on Thursday morning and think, yeah, that's gonna get the job done, and it didn't quite. So I'm not under pressure to win, and you know, the result is, if you play well and things go your way, that takes care of itself. But it would just be nice to string a few more good rounds together and put in a good performance, and that'd be a nice way to end the year.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.